And we're on. Okay. I don't even have my headphones on yet. Okay. Christian Gay is my guest tonight. Thank you, Connor, for buying me a couple of minutes here. Running a little bit late tonight. And how you doing, young man?
Good. And I want everybody to know that being late wasn't my fault. It was actually Ed's fault. I had nothing to do with it.
No, I see. You have learned nothing in being with me the several times you've been here. When everything else fails, you throw your board man under the bus. It's Connor's fault.
Oh, okay. Wait, but Ed, you said thank you for buying you a few minutes a second ago.
Well, that was my idea.
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, look, dude, I'm just...
Connor's getting over a... You're getting over a cold, are you? Yeah. Okay, he's going to make it, I think. Better than I did yesterday. The son and I went down to Vanderbilt and saw my wonderful Wildcats lose to the Vanderbilt Commodores in a good game.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
But, did you watch it?
Of course I did. Yeah. Any chance I get to watch Vanderbilt whoop up on a bigger opponent, I will watch it.
Okay, Connor, that'll be all for tonight. We're going to go home early.
So you know,
I got to tell you, Miss Sonia's out there, and I think we'll just do a rerun for her. We're going to go on
a two-hour block.
Let her have the whole two
hours.
2 hours. No, I tell you, it was a good game.
Absolutely.
It was. And you're right. I'll tell you, when you're in the top 10, you don't go to Memorial Coliseum.
SEC's a gauntlet this year.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah. You don't – I mean, I've seen it happen down there too many times.
Of course.
That a number one team went in. You know, they're crowned number one on Saturday night, and they go in on Tuesday, and guess what?
Yeah.
You get beat. I mean,
yeah.
I saw it happen to Florida. I've seen it happen to Tennessee now twice. Tennessee won. Years ago when Bruce Pearl was there, they went to number one. They beat Memphis State. They were ranked number one Monday morning and Tuesday. I said, I've seen this play before, and went down to Vanderbilt. That was their next game. And, I mean, got trounced.
Well, when March Madness comes around, tournaments really start up. I think you're going to really find out what teams got it, what teams
right.
Don't.
Right. You know, okay. So. I'm telling you. Okay. Christians, we're going to talk about some politics. Some of you have seen my post on Facebook, and he's been good enough to come up and be with me. And I've got to tell you, and I don't lie about it, and I think he knows this, I didn't have anybody planned to be here. I wait until later in the week to see what happens with this crazy political season we're in. And Christian presents a very good, we were talking, Miss Sonia's here with us, and we were talking out, having a good conversation outside. Wish that could go on for more. Put on a pot of coffee and, you know, just discuss in common sense and just politeness of what goes on, you know.
Yeah.
Not that Miss Sonia's that polite a person. She's always been very ill toward me. See what I'm talking about? Did you see that hand hit me?
I didn't see anything.
That's assault.
I think it's battery, actually, whatever.
I'll tell you what, we're going to get this thing kicked off. Connor, if you would, please. But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymond. Yes, I'm still a private investigator, at least for now. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your good neighbor station, News Radio WGNS.
And a little rock and roll to kick off your Sunday night. This is Edwin Lee Raymer Show. I'm your host, Ed Raymer. Show is produced at the studios, WGNS AM, 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You can reach us tonight, me and Christian, with your questions, comments, or your thoughts at 615-893-1450. And you can also send us a text to that number, and Connor will be glad to hand it to me or Christian. One, we'll read it for you, or he'll be glad to read it for you. If you're a little too shy and don't care to be heard live on the radio, Christian Gay is my guest, as I've told you. You all know of him. Yeah, you can reach us at WGNSradio.com. Scroll over. It's pretty well self-explanatory. How else do you listen? My wife listens on Alexa. You can find us on YouTube Live. You can find us on Facebook Live. News Radio WGNS. We're on there right now. And, you know, there's a number of different ways you can find us. Just Google it. Or you can Google my name and you can get Edwin Lee Raymer, R-E-Y-M-E-R. You can download the WGNS app and take WGNS with you wherever you go. Listen whenever you wish. And I didn't get to hear, did Miss Angela do a show tonight? Well, she is. She's in. Angela, listen to Brother Mike Sparks. He does a show here, too. He's on, I think, before her. Jason Qualls with Financial Coaching Radio. A lot of good, all of our sports and everything that Brian and John Dinkins do. And just good folks here. Listen in. Give them a shot. I think you'd like it. And Connor's on the board, always doing a good job. And Christian Gay is here. And Christian, what's been happening, my friend? My young friend?
Well, you speak of young. I turned 26 yesterday.
You look a lot older.
Yeah, I know.
Because a lot of people say it to me.
Yeah, oh, really? Well, Ed, you turn 26 every year, so it's a little hard to keep up with.
34.
The, 35. Oh,
I've crossed over into the 30.
I understand.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, my dad was telling me today, he said, yeah. You know, for whatever reason, I just always thought when I was growing up, son, that when you hit 25, you just turned old.
When you hit, yeah, 40 seems so old.
No, it's nothing yeah. there. No, you just.
Yeah.
Every
seems,
day is precious.
It seems, oh, listen, yeah. I'll tell you, you know, we finished last month, the Christmas season and all, but I've got to tell you, and I'm not kidding about this, I'm sincere, every day for me is like Christmas with what I've had my wife.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't get gifts every day, don't get me wrong, but it's, you know, I truly do, I try to keep that spirit going to some degree year-round. Because we certainly need it right now.
Well, what'd you get me?
Okay, well, let's start beating up on these people right now.
So I was thinking, you after you called me and asked me, I was talking it over with my wife, and I said, well, I think that I'm afraid you have seen this before. And not just you as, like, a person, but maybe you as a country. But it is the sick society and the sick system.
Right.
And we talk about the sick society being, society is a French word. It is société, meaning a friendly association with others. Now, that kind of seems like a bit of an oxymoron in the wildfire that is American politics or this social media apparatus that we have. Now, one thing I did over the weekend, and well, I guess it was last week, I treated myself to deleting Facebook and Instagram, and I have slept better since then. My thoughts have been clearer. I haven't felt like I've missed out on anything, except following your page, Ed. And but still, okay. You know, again, it's whenever you think about deleting these things, you think that you're about to ostracize and cast yourself into the wilderness.
Yeah,
that you're about to become so unplugged. I even had a friend of mine at work. He said, well, how are you going to stay informed about anything? I said, have you ever heard of the news? You ever heard of a newspaper? Maybe. Like, you know, read.
I know. And the news, the press is in trouble today. The printed, the print media is really, no one likes to read anymore.
Well,
and I love reading a newspaper.
I admittedly will kind of divulge into the newspaper every once in a while. Local print is dwindling, though.
Sure it is.
It's getting a lot weaker, especially because of the lack of people who want to get into, like, a physical print copy newspaper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you go to Kroger and there's maybe three or four New York Times, there's a Washington Post, and then there's a Tennessean or two. So
used to be a plethora of, you know, everything from Chicago Sun-Times to everyone's all over the nation.
And now it's on your phone and stuff. You can take it wherever you want.
Yeah,
which
is
great, but there's also a lot of distractions on your phone, like Facebook and Instagram. But
ads.
You know, we know what sickness is when in the term of the sick society. Sickness being a malady, being a it's not anything from a cold, but I think in the way I want to think about it, it is like an illness that gets progressively worse.
Right.
But you can actually go and treat. Like
sure.
So I thought about an old joke I heard where there's a guy named John who goes into the woods because he's sick of society. He's so tired of living around everybody else. And so he goes and builds a cabin in the woods. And one day he gets a knock at the door, and it's this old hillbilly Leroy. And Leroy goes up and says, well, I have noticed you have been out in these woods for, you know, 2 or 3 years, and I want to invite you to a party. And John says, well, well, what? Where is it? He says, it's going to be over at my house. He said, look, there's going to be some drinking at this party. And John says, well, I haven't shared a drink with anybody in a long time. Fine, I'll go over and we you know, I'll meet some of your people and stuff. And he says, well, there's also going to be some people using illicit substances. He says, well, I don't partake, but I don't judge people who do. He said, well, there's also fights at these parties now. He said, well, I can hold my own. He said, yeah, my parties get awful raucous. He said, there's even some very fast romances going on at these parties of mine. And John says, well, it's been a couple of years. I haven't seen anybody else out here in these woods. And so before Leroy leaves, John asks him, says, oh, by the way, what should I wear? Is it a formal, semi-formal? And Leroy says, it doesn't matter. It's just going to be the two of us. So, but in our case, it seems as though that we expect certain things out of what things are going to be like on the outside.
I see what you're getting at.
Yeah, we get our expectations dashed over and over. And in our case, it seems, though, it's half of the voting population versus another half of the voting population. And it feels like we have nothing in common, but we do. And it's a massive thing that fuels the sixth society. And it is disaffectedness. That's a big word for people who aren't familiar with the term. It's dissatisfaction with people in power and not being willing to support them any longer.
Right.
Dissatisfaction with people in power, not willing to support them. That means you're dissatisfied with the institution these people head up, be it your local city council, all the way up to the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Our current president started out with the lowest ever approval rating of a president.
Mm-hmm. True.
People in the economy now still view it unfavorably, even though inflation's at its lowest point that it had been since the pandemic.
Right.
Our job market bounced back. But it didn't seem like anything changed for people, did it? People
really?
Are having a hard time still making money. They're having a hard time.
They're still talking about the price of eggs.
Well, and not only that, but the quality of what they buy.
Right.
So there is a lot of room in an economic sense and in a social sense that will allow for us to get sicker unless we malady what our differences are.
Right.
So it comes down to basically age, people's experiences growing up and living in the country, the economic environment, and the political environment. And so I want to see if we can kind of unflesh some, or see if we can kind of uncover some similarities between America today and a certain other country about 100 years ago.
Right. What country would that be?
Germany.
Germany.
It would be Germany.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, I think
I see where you're leading here. Yeah, I see where you. I'm looking at the road you're driving on here.
Well, and one big thing that really got me there was that over the weekend, a Tennessee Republican women's group cited Hitler in promoting its reading list. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like if you're citing Hitler in something that that you're putting out, Then perhaps you're maybe on like the bad side of things. So the Tennessee Federation of Republican Women came under fire for providing parents a reading list for children that cites Adolf Hitler as an example of leadership. Quote, Hitler and all intelligent leaders throughout history have understood that the way to change the country was through the training of its youth to get them while they are young, the group's reading list said. The list, dated March 2024, is titled Growing American Patriots Through Literacy. The reference was called out on a social media site dedicated to the Knoxville community. Dozens of commenters found the citation of Hitler as a source on educating youth to be offensive. So, how do we make the changes necessary, the reading list says? Just before the Hitler quote, Proverbs 22:6 teaches us that if we train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The suggested books include Camilla Can Vote, authored by Senator Marsha Blackburn,
Oh, yeah.
A is for Abigail, an almanac of amazing Americans by Lynn Cheney. And they go on to say that we're providing reading lists and suggestions for materials that can be shared through local clubs with children and grandchildren and recommended for local libraries. The group's president, Shannon Boring, on Thursday, asked a reporter to call back later and then did not answer the phone on a second call. She did not respond to a follow-up text.
Okay. I'll tell you what. It's time for our caller. Is this Jeff? Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, he's there, Mr. Ramsey.
Doing good. Jeff, let me ask you something. I know you called to ask the questions or make comments. I want to ask you something. You write for a local paper, correct?
Yes, correct.
Has your subscription, your circulation, do you know if it has gone up or down with, since your association with this particular newspaper?
I don't know. I know we have subscribers. I mean, people tell me. I've had people, you know, I do sports, so... I mean, I know one guy that he's a friend of mine. He says that when he gets the paper, he reads me and my editor, sports wise. And I know people that I've known people at ball games. Another guy says he gets it. I mean, there's people that get the paper. Do I know how many? No. But I'm sure more people read them online. I'm sure they do.
Right. Okay.
Hard copy. I don't know how many subscribers they have. I don't know. I have no idea.
Thank you. Jeff, what you need? You should have been with us at Vanderbilt yesterday. Well, maybe you shouldn't have been there.
when you turn it over 17 times, you're not going to win.
Right.
And it's Memorial Gym, not Memorial Coliseum. Memorial Coliseum is the next.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're Memorial Gym. I'm sorry.
And second, when they write a check to us on Monday or Tuesday this week, they'll learn because they storm the floor, as you know.
Yes.
This is the third time they've done it. We have football bid against Alabama. The second time they've done it in 2 weeks. So they'll fine this time, if they fine them, which if Sankey does, it'll be $500,000.
I had heard that. It will be $500,000.
When you write the checks, you don't write to the conference office. You write to the university. So they'll write a check. They have the University of Kentucky for $500,000.
Wait a minute. They write a check to the University of Kentucky?
Yes, they do, because when they storm against Alabama.
Oh, man.
Alabama. When they stormed the court last week against Tennessee, they wrote to Tennessee. You don't write to the office anymore. You write to your opponent.
Well, you know, and the thing is down there on the on all the video screens, and about halfway through the second half, they were saying, please do not enter the court after the game. They were begging them, and they had the police officers down there, the security, doing the best they could. They had lined both sides, and they can't control those kids, and they just come out there, and it's cost them $500,000 to the University of Kentucky.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, so I was at the game Saturday.
Right.
At 8 minutes up or so. The announcers kept saying, don't storm the floor, act like you've done it before. See, Robert with Vanderbilt, the last time they won in Memorial Gym was 2016. Last time the Vanderbilt won in Kentucky in Memorial Gym was 2016. They ain't done it in 9 years. They went in there 9 years.
Yeah, since. Right.
They got to jump and have a fit. And they hadn't beat Alabama in 40 years. That's why they took that goalpost to the river. That's why they ain't won. But what I want to say, though, guys, I know you have seen some of this stuff this week that's went on. I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about our great congressman, Andy Ogles, in the third term of the Bush-Trump administration.
Yeah, I saw that. I wish he'd quit.
They say they've never seen a lot of name, but this one, the brain of Andy Ogles for the Trump third term of the Trump administration. And also, you also have heard that the person that your guest here, Ms. Blackburn, is thinking about running for governor. You do know that, correct?
Wait a minute. Say that again. I didn't understand you.
Marsha Blackburn is pondering running for governor.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Yeah, that's exciting.
And I know that thriller's your guest. No end. He's going to go out and get his bike from the governor.
I don't know if you're watching on by video or not, but Kristen's shaking his head.
Yeah, I see.
And he's not shaking. Yes, I can tell
you. I'm just so disappointed. Like, you know, like, it, honestly, sometimes it feels like you're a surgeon working on a patient when you're doing political work or you're doing, trying to do media stuff.
Yeah.
And you're massaging the heart and you're trying to get the guy started going back again, and it was not working, and you just have to look up at the clock and call the time of death.
And also with session starts tomorrow on the bastards, of course, as you know, that'll be beginning tomorrow, and they're going to add the stash relief into it. They want to add guns to it, but they said Governor Lee has that problem. We know what that's going to entail. One final thing, guys. Did you see the inauguration on Monday? I know people didn't watch it, but did you hear about what happened?
No, I didn't.
Okay, remember Trump wanted the flags up to half full.
The froze.
You remember that, correct? Okay, let me tell you what happened now. It was so cold in Washington, D.C. Monday, they went out to try to raise it. You're gonna die. Your size is gonna split up. They tried to raise the flag to full staff. See, they wanted full. They couldn't raise it. The cords were froze to the phone. They couldn't raise it.
Jimmy Carter getting last one in, man.
It was so cold Monday. But so they moved it inside. They couldn't raise it. The cords froze the phone.
Yeah, they were trying to do that at the same time Carrie Underwood was getting in her white robes to get out there and sing for the great Emperor Trump.
When I read that, both my sides went open, went on the floor.
Well, I mean, also when you take an oath, you should place your hand on the Bible. By the way,
there was two of them. He didn't know which hand he got to place. Two Bibles are in them.
Yeah. They cancel each other out if there's two of them.
I guess they do.
Yeah.
He don't know where his hand's going. But of course, we know all these executive orders he signed. I don't want to get into all that. But I thought that was funny. It's all good out when they tried to raise that up and the cord throws the phone.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I said, man, oh, Jimmy Carter. Baby, I love you. Oh, Jimmy.
Jeff, thank you. Okay. Okay, children, I'm going to have to put you.
I'm going to say, you died at the right time, Jimmy.
You died at the right time.
Even though Governor Lee put his full staff in this state, D.C. was lowered. So that's all I'm going to say about it. Guys, have a good week. Enjoy your show. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff Neal. And we're going to go to Christian Gaze, our guest. Connor's on the board. I'm Ed Raymer. We're going to go to our first break. Stay with us back right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
All right, and we are back. I have had Connor pull up via YouTube, courtesy of YouTube. Thursday night's Rutherford County School Board meeting. I did not know that the Rutherford County School Board had been endowed with such power or authority. I want you to listen to this, and Connor's going to start this for us. This meeting was about 3 hours. This is a proposal put forth by Ms. Rosales. Is that her name? Rosales?
Whatever.
On the Rutherford County School Board. And I want you to hear this. Connor, if you'd go ahead, if you can, please start that.
Mr. Reed, already on his way.
This is Mr. Reed, the county,
This was a resolution,
school board attorney.
Ms. Rosales, we read the resolution on Tuesday night. This is a resolution to expedite the closure of the borders and to increase Title III funds for ESL services. So the resolution is asking for the Board of Education to urge our state legislators and governor to advocate for the current administration to expedite the closure of our nation's borders and for the federal government to provide additional funding for the Title III program to fund the services the federal government requires school systems to provide to ESL students. So that's the resolution being proposed tonight.
Yes, Ms. Rosales.
All this does really is just identifies a problem to bring it before our state delegation and our governor to advocate on our behalf, well, not just Rutherford County, but really to advocate for the entire state of Tennessee because we need more federal dollars. And so with that, I make a motion to move to approve the resolution as written.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Ms. Sharp?
This is a federal, this should be addressed at the federal level, not here. We don't have anything to do with this. This is a federal level issue. And we should not be doing this. Our board should not be, we're on the local level and we don't have any authority over our General Assembly and we don't have any authority over our federals. Our federal rep should be talking to our federal liaisons at the DC level. This is going to send a message to our children, and not a good one.
Did it pass?
That's your Rutherford County School Board.
Did it pass?
Yes.
Holy cow. Wow.
Christian.
What on earth?
Your comments.
So there is...
Now, please do not use foul language.
Oh, no.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
If they were worth the foul language, I think it would be different. But there's a complicity that's horrifying from Ms. Rosales and the rest of the good, God-loving bigots that are wishing to, as the voice of reason, Ms. Sharp, I believe is her name.
Yeah, Ms. Sharp, right.
That it's going to send a message to our children. But, you know, I've learned one thing about reasonability in the face of people who wish to exercise power indefinitely is that they don't care.
Yeah,
they've never cared. And that this cruelty is the point. I don't know if you've heard about the ICE raids that are trying to happen in Chicago.
I have.
Where ICE agents are trying to stop buses, or they're trying to go into schools and they're being stopped by the administrations, because you can't just come in and try to use children to get to parents.
I know.
Because aren't we more civilized than that? But you see, they've marked it as a problem already. These people, these illegals, quote unquote, are a problem. And there's only one solution. And it's, as Donald Trump says, it's to put them on military planes, have them flown to a country that may or may not even have came from, and then start a trade war at 4 o'clock in the afternoon today between Colombia and the United States.
Right.
And look, the cruelty that they're getting at is the point. Ms. Rosales doesn't care. If you notice, she even tried to brush past the whole, well, it's just because we need more money, we need more funds. But the complicity that this school board has...
I fail to see the link there.
I did too.
I their money comes from the county.
Well, they think they rule the world, I guess. And that's I think, a problem with a lot of people who become so vain with their usage of power. There is a scientific study that shows that when a person has any sort of authority, it begins to change their brain chemistry.
Okay.
And so...
I like that. Leave my microphone on. Let them catch my laughter.
Sometimes, if you have a brain chemistry to change, then it can really do a number on you. But I think for these people...
You're kidding.
I wish. But for some people, it allows them to do the thing they've always wanted to do. Ms. Rosales and her husband, I'm pretty sure, run an organization called Latinos for Tennessee, who try to get Hispanics across the state to come together and meet with solely Republican members of the state house, federal Congress, and they're taking a portion of Hispanics who are, again, disaffected, that word I used, they were dissatisfied with the prior administration's immigration policies, and they're pulling the ladder up behind them saying, well, I got mine, screw you, like I did everything I needed to do. God forbid the waiting list to actually get in to be a citizen the quote-unquote right way is 20 years behind.
Yeah,
and you know, it's really a shame whenever there are people who are being threatened by cartels, need somewhere to go work, and then do the jobs that white people don't want to do, and all of the fruit rots in Alabama's orchards.
And that could be where we're headed.
Or the commodity farms that we have line the state with Tyson chicken or whatever kind of other grains we use, and we don't have workers for that. I don't know what's going to happen to the people who own the places, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to really like the whole let's just ship everybody up and make everybody white again. I don't exactly know where they think our labor force is going, but I don't know that a lot of people want to get out and really do that kind of work, because it's been shown in states before.
Yeah,
but I'm not surprised. And this is one of these things that they use to beat you down with. Because good-natured people are going to understand that this is something that they're going to... It's a thing that horrifies you. And then you get numb to it. In Milton Mayer's book about Nazi Germany, it's called They Thought They Were Free. People were seeing these decrees or this, January 6th type violence happening. Or the communists and the Nazis are out shooting each other in the street. It's just political violence. I'm not really involved in it. Well, the changes came at a drip, at a drip, at a drip, at a drip. And when it was too late to do anything, they either felt as though they didn't have to, or that it'd be impossible to make a difference. And if you're not careful, you got people on a school board complicit with things that they have no business being complicit in, that are turning the faucet on.
Well, the Rutherford County Library Alliance is down there.
Yeah. Matt and Tiffany, right?
Yeah. Matt, Tiffany, and Frank Lambert was there. Connor was just pointing him out to me. They're there. And Frank and Carrie Lambert. Frank, of course, is a professor at MTSU.
Yes, yes.
Professor, his librarian. Mm-hmm. What he is. They know what they're talking about. And these books that they're worried about. Mm-hmm. You know, and I heard it several weeks ago. Now, we need to get these books in here before we do it, and let's take a look at them. Okay, you're going to take a look at them.
Right.
That means you're going to look at the front cover and the back cover. What, you're going to read the intro or what? I mean, You need to read the entire book.
Mm-hmm. Well, context doesn't matter for them, does it? It's context.
No, it doesn't.
Context is too complicated. It's too nuanced. Yeah. Whenever people who are like this in power, they see one thing that they go against. It's like whenever the Nazis got all of the postmodern art and put it in a big gallery, right, and would parade German citizens through it to be like, look at this, look at how bad this is, and like droves of Nazis or droves of German people would come to like pay for the art that was supposed to be banned and made fun of because they liked it.
Yeah.
Because they loved it. So you start doing this with books, and people are going to find ways to read them. The lessons are going to disappear.
My entire premise is, have these people heard of the internet?
Apparently not.
Because you can get just about anything you want. By the way, interesting comment. I think we've talked about this before. Now, this was once read. I don't know if it still is or not. One of the largest collections of pornography. You know who holds it?
I don't know who you?
The... Yeah. Believe it or not, folks, there is one adult here in the place right
and
now.
It's Connor.
Okay, the other two are well, it's true. Thank goodness. The Vatican.
No kidding.
No kidding. At one time, and it still may be true, I don't know.
Well, I doubt the Vatican, like Tennessee, has made it to where you have to like provide your face and like your photo ID to go and look at such pictures.
I doubt that.
So Tennessee, they're actually doing a thing to where they're trying to limit access to things that, and I understand pornography is harmful for people who aren't ready for that yet. Kids,
I understand.
There's a reason why it's there, but it seems as though they're really trying to make it difficult for anybody to get to it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's been said for years, you cannot legislate morality.
No kidding.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
And these people apparently have not heard of the internet.
No. And the people in the school board have never heard of the separation of powers or federalism or any of these other big words that make government work. And
you wonder if they ever took history in school.
I bet you they have, and they learned that whenever they do things like this, it degrades the trust that people have in their institutions, which makes a sick system from a sick society. When you have people who are constantly at odds with the things that they're supposed to be putting their faith in, that the people in power would do the right things for them.
Right.
And that constantly is being undermined by their actions. And like Miss Sharp.
Yeah.
And she said, when you keep sending these signals out, these shots across the bow,
right,
that if you're brown and you're here, and maybe your parents weren't here legally, this denaturalization executive order that the president has thrown up to hope that the Supreme Court will overrule and change the Constitution without a constitutional amendment. We go so far as to wanting our own exercises of morality. It's not that, Ed, they don't want to legislate your morality. They want to legislate theirs.
Well, they'd better get started then.
Uh-huh. You better get cracking.
Better hop to it. I'll tell you what we're going to do. If it's all right, Connor, let's go to our last series of breaks here. And then when we come back, we'll have the balance of the hour, what's left of it. Christian Gage, my guest here. Connor's on the board. Ed Raymer here with you. Stay with us. Back with you right after these good words. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. If you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry, if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
All right, we're coming back. Christian Gay is my guest. We've got just a few minutes left here. I want to play something. Connor has been good enough to pull up from Tom Hartman, and this was played earlier this past week. And we're gonna play this for you. This is Trump has signed an executive order to repeal President Johnson's 1965 order that says any federal contractor cannot discriminate on race or sex.
Yep.
For example, only whites only necessary, you know, need reply. Yeah. I want you to go ahead, Connor, play that if you would, please.
Trump's Orwellian America takes shape. Now, you know, there's some competition for the weirdest or worst or most dangerous or even deadly of the Trump executive orders that he signed on his first day, but one of them, for example, repealing Lyndon Johnson's 1965 executive order that said that any federal contractor for the federal government, any contractor providing services to the federal government, cannot discriminate based on race or sex. They just repealed that. So yeah, go ahead. Just post your hey, we're going to build a new government building or we're going to build a new detention facility. Just put your help wanted ad out there with whites only need apply. No problem. That's now legal. Another executive order he signed this week, I talked about it at some length yesterday, proclaims that men and women are assigned their birth at conception. Actually, at conception, we're either all women or all non-binary. Men don't appear until about 6 weeks after conception. Hmm. But really, this was a way of laying the groundwork for fetal personhood, which I talked about yesterday. But the most troubling of the executive orders is the one with the Orwellian name, ending the weaponization of the federal government. It lays out a rationalization to investigate and then prosecute the investigators and attorneys in the federal government who looked into Trump's many ties to Russia and Putin. And then it goes after those who tracked down and imprisoned January 6th seditionists, and who tried unsuccessfully, thanks to Merrick Garland's temerity, to prosecute Trump for his attempts to overthrow the 2020 election and to steal top-secret nuclear and espionage secrets, which he allegedly then have made available to random foreign spies passing through Mar-a-Lago. This weaponization executive order makes clear right from the get-go that this is just pure politics, and that it's not really about ending the weaponization of government. Sure. It's about beginning it.
I'm going to ask you, Chris, how's that grab you, sports fan?
Now, I agree with a lot of what Tom says, but there's one thing that I took.
That
took
was cur- by the way. Let me say that was courtesy of YouTube. By the way, please. I'm sorry.
He said this is politics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nope. It's institutional warfare.
Mm-hmm.
I have this book with me. It's called How Democracies Die. It's by Stephen Levitsky and Daniel Ziblatt. And I read it.
We're going to ban that one.
Well, I got a copy of it. I don't care if you ban it or not.
Connor, you can't have that in your store.
And I'll be glad to throw it out there for whoever wants to read it. If, if I come up missing, I didn't do it.
I know you brought it. Yeah.
So, but in Donald Trump's first year in office, he followed a familiar script. Now, the author names off a bunch of different authoritarian leaders like Hugo Chavez or Erdogan from Hungary.
Right.
America's new president began his tenure by launching blistering rhetorical attacks on his opponents.
Uh-huh.
He's always done that, though. Uh-huh. Now, this book was written in his first term.
In his first term?
So, right. He called the media the enemy of the people. He threatened to cut federal funding to major cities. He questioned judges' legitimacy. And Trump was unsparing in his attacks on the media, and they were unsparing on covering him in his first 100 days. He was everywhere. So there wasn't a day after these things where the Trump administration felt besieged by, well, what about Russia? What about your ties to Russia and Putin? What about the appointment of Robert Mueller, who was going to investigate these things? And
right.
Even said, and don't you forget, whoever's listening, that they said that even though that my work, he said that even though that this report does not make him guilty, it doesn't make him innocent either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That I can't say that he's guilty, but if somebody wanted to prosecute him, here's like, I don't know, 400 pages of evidence that shows ties between meddling in elections to trying to get a foreign power to investigate your political rivals.
And we've got the same thing happening now with Elon Musk.
So President Trump continues, I never thought I'd say that again, authoritarian instincts during his first year in office. Now, you hear the word authoritarian, it doesn't mean anything to you.
Yeah.
So if any of you were bullied in school, or if any of you have a boss that was just incredibly cruel to you, that's kind of what that is. It's bullying. It's hatred. It's disgusting behavior toward you. So, authoritarianism is something that is constantly creeping into, and is being emboldened,
right?
By the people that fund Donald Trump, all the way down
exactly right.
to this school board, who wants to then not bend the knee but raise the arm to Donald Trump's policies.
Right.
You know, I'm not surprised by it. I'm not surprised that he pulled the security clearances of people who wanted
had
been investigating, or I think Anthony Fauci, who helped lead us through the coronavirus
pandemic.
Oh, he's a
bad guy.
He's a
bad guy anyway,
So, I think even Lindsey Graham came out and said, and you know how Lindsey Graham, I always make way for his grievances. He said that he thinks it was a mistake, but we'll see how far that holds whenever something else troubles Lindsey that he needs passed.
Yeah,
but
right.
So, there are echoes of the 1920s and 30s in America.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whenever a president...
I could not agree more. I
whenever a president begins wielding the sword of wishing to purge his enemies, being either killing their political careers or perhaps inciting a riot on a Capitol building when your
right.
opponent's being, or pressuring state officials in different states to try to find more votes for you that is listed in a many phone calls that they recorded, or whenever you are trying to parrot different theories about your voting machines that weren't true, that were made up by Sidney Powell, the attorney in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to wage war on not just the Constitution, but the many institutions that make up the country, you're no longer a patriot. You're an enemy of the people.
Right.
And there are people who are emboldened in this county by these things. Jamie Averwater, when she ran for Congress against Stevens, she tried to out Fuhrer the Fuhrer. She came out and she brought out and said, hey, look at my mailers that have all these nasty policies about Hispanics in my very rural and I think white thing. And Robert Stevens was doing the same thing. They were having how much can we hate brown immigrants the most.
How much can we hate brown people?
The most. Sure. And you know, sure. Then these people are on your city council. Shane McFarland will constantly talk to people who are in sports who don't like trans people and will constantly hate on trans people. Mm-hmm. Regardless of your stance, maybe don't be denigrating small amounts of the population for political points. All of these things that we would never expect from these people, because honestly, all of them should be incompetent. But they supplement their incompetence with hatred.
Back in my day in the 70s when I was coming up, they would have never been considered for office.
Well, they would have never considered saying these things.
No. And let me say this, in either party.
No. Yeah.
They would not say, come on, you can't get out of here. Go on.
You're just crazy.
Go somewhere else.
Nah.
I'm sorry, we don't want you. And I'm telling you, y'all weren't around then. I'm telling you, in the 70s and even the 80s, these people would not have been considered. You know, no, look, we don't need that. Okay, thank you very much for stopping by, but we're not going there.
I've heard so many excuses for Elon Musk.
Oh,
I've heard so many excuses. Oh, he has autism, or he's got something that makes him wear. He's so awkward in public. But when there's a side by side of neo Nazis doing the same thing you did, not just once to a crowd, but twice to the actual guy that you're funded billions of dollars for, and you're actually going to have a office in his White House,
$250 million, I believe.
When you're doing the Nazi thing, to the president of the United States, and the president's not upset with it. Look, it's in all of this sounds like this is hyperbole. Go look at the videos, dude. I mean,
instead of a man having guts enough to stand and say, you know, hey, you got a lot of money. I'm proud of you, but thanks, but no thanks.
No. How do you keep the grift going without that money, Ed?
I know.
So
I know.
When we began to then flow in and normalize this kind of radical. This radical language, rhetoric, and see, because on the internet, people have made it a thing that's not a big deal.
Right.
Drip, mm-hmm. drip, drip.
Sure.
Next year, if things are changing, we may not have the right to have this conversation.
I know, and that has crossed my mind many, many times. Over the last year and a half.
I wonder if your city council will go talk to Ms. Rosales and ask to have us put somewhere.
I don't know.
I wonder if Jamie Averwater and Sean and, I'm saying your names, and, you know, Kurt, whenever if he ever gets a backbone. I don't know if any of these people will say no. Because if you noticed, Sean wasn't there and Jamie wasn't there. For the votes on that big ordinance that was hating on gays in the last couple summer sessions.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed there was a really surprising trend. They were both going to be up for re-election.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they didn't vote on it. Because the people there had nothing to lose.
Sure.
But they were all there to repeal it. And they did the right thing at the right time. Not because it was right, but because it benefited them. Drip, drip, drip. That faucet of complicity... of wanting to exercise your hate because it feels good is not government. It is incompetent. It is spitefulness. It is destroying the American ideals of what we can do when we do things together.
Sure.
But when we begin to rip each other apart at the seams and you're complicit in it, you will wake up and your legacy will have slipped away from you to where people spit on your grave. You become a Confederate.
Yeah. Right.
People have to either choose in or choose up now. Because if you obey in advance to these people, they will take more from you than you ever thought was imaginable.
Sure. And that is, you know, we've got about a minute and a half left. I love having you up.
Thanks.
I love our young people here. Connor's doing a great job on the board. My mother always said, keep yourself... Stay in touch with young people, because it'll keep you young. It won't keep you young.
Well, you're only 34, Ed.
It will keep you thinking, you know, that your way is not the only way.
Sure.
And I want to tell you right now. Now, you all don't know Connor that well. He's behind the mic and behind the scenes. He runs the board. But you've seen this young man, and I'm going to tell you right now. There's people out there I know. you're scared to death of this guy. Aren't you? Yeah, you're scared to death of him because he speaks the truth and common sense. It's, this is your youth, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up. All is not lost. Okay?
Well, in closing.
You got 30 seconds.
Every lie that we tell is indebted to the truth. And soon enough, that debt will be paid.
Yep.
Every lie we tell incurs a debt to the truth.
That's right.
If they take everything from us, if they ship all of us away, if they begin to target our representatives, they can never take the truth from us.
I want to thank you for being here, Christian. And we've got
thank
to go.
It's
9 o'clock. Thank you so much. And he will be back, I hope, ladies and gentlemen. Edwin Lee Raymer. Until next Sunday at 8 o'clock, I'll catch you down the road. Good night.